Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Holiday season's upon us, gentlemen. What does that mean? Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry, just a little north of the stadium. It's not Northdale Mabry. It's right there in Tampa. And easy access, whether you're coming down from Carrollwood, if you come across the Courtney Campbell, it's right there when you get on the Tampa side, coming up from South Tampa. Tremendous showroom, great values. The time is now. You're not going to get a better deal. And next year, who knows what the prices are going to be. Right now, you got to take advantage. Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford. Get your holiday deals done.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Thanksgiving Day Edition. It is presented, as all podcasts have been for the last three seasons, by our friends at Hooters. For those of you in the Tampa Bay area, we are doing our Fantasy Football Podcast regular season finale watch event Monday night, December 2nd, at the same Hooters location, Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa, just west of Northdale Mabry, where we've had the fantasy podcast drafts the last 3 years. Good excuse to get some people together. I don't expect everyone from all the leagues can show up. We're just going to get together, talk some fantasy football. All four leagues that I commission, Ira Kaufman's Hall of Fame Fantasy League, the Todd Wright Tour Podcast League, my personal league, the Foundation, and the Moneyball League, which this just in, I'm still alive for a playoff spot with 1 week to go. Odds are not in my favor, but at least I play meaningful games for 13 weeks in the Moneyball League, where I only had the first overall pick and no other draft picks, assembling my team from undrafted free agents, waivers, and trades. That's it. And yes, no one drafted Lamar Jackson. He has been a big reason why I'm still alive. Anyway, so even if you're not in one of my leagues this year, but you're thinking about getting involved in one of the leagues next year, and actually we're going to make it even easier for you to play in the podcast leagues next year, you are welcome to come out, introduce yourself to me at Hooters, and hang out with us for the evening, at least for the first half. I'm not expecting everyone to stay for the full game. It's a good game for fantasy purposes and also for NFC playoff purposes. It's Vikings at Seahawks. I'm telling everyone to get there by roughly 7:45 p.m., and we'll stay for the first half as a group. Again, everyone in Tampa Bay is invited if you want to come, even if you're not in one of my leagues. Hooters has been a terrific sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for 3 years running. We've done the podcast for four seasons now, and I am eternally grateful for what they have done for me. Thanks to Hooters, they have 11 locations in the Tampa Bay area. Visit originalhooters.com to find the one closest to you. If you are outside the Tampa Bay area, I'm not telling you anything you don't know about how Hooters is a destination to watch football through the rest of the regular season, through the end of the college football regular season, bowl games, college football playoff, NFL playoff, and even the Super Bowl. Thanks to Hooters for what they do for me and the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. All right, we always try to do a Thanksgiving edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, focusing specifically on those three games that are played on Thanksgiving Day. Always an early game in Detroit, always the Thanksgiving dinner game, as I call it, in Dallas, Texas, or in this case, Arlington. You get the point. And then in a number of years recently, they've been rotating a third game. This year, it's Falcons and Saints. If you would like to email me, again, I will respond to emails Monday through Saturday of each week, not on Sundays. I will respond on Thursday. I'm fine. I'll be watching the games just like all of you. If you have a last-minute question on Thanksgiving Day, I'll be able to answer it. if I don't already cover it here in the podcast. I'm starting to tell what people email me and don't give me anything in return, which is downloading and listening to the podcast. It's ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I have some emails I'm going to return after this edition of the podcast. All right, so in order, early game Bears-Lions. Yeesh. You know, other than it simply being football on TV early on Thanksgiving Day, I can't even make much of a fantasy argument for anything in this game. These are two teams going nowhere. There are questions about next season, coaching staff. I guess you could even say quarterback, because if Matt Stafford's got some back problems, that's never good for the long term. Let's start with the Bears. There was a gentleman who emailed me last week who wanted to start Allen Robinson. I questioned whether I would do the same thing. In the end, Robinson was a good play last week for the Bears. I still don't know that that's where you want to go. I mean, of all the players on the field in this game, Robinson is the best play. He is. I can't make an argument for anyone else. And if you're saying, well, what about Galladay? What about Marvin Jones? We don't know who's going to quarterback the Lions. You know, last week I made a very bold move, and I benched both Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper in my foundation league. It was the right move. The problem was those moves are always twofold. It's one thing if you get right with the benching. It's another thing that you got to get right who you put in their place. I put Jeff Driskel in place of Dak Prescott, and he was still better from a points standpoint than Prescott, but three picks. Thankfully, the 62 rushing yards did earn 6.2 points. Nevertheless, Driskel did not take advantage of the Redskin defense the way Sam Darnold had done the week before. That was the move I should have made, going with Sam Darnold, who has been hot, got hot late last season as well. So if Driskel can't play, and it feels like Matt Stafford is done for the year, the Lions are putting someone out there who we know nothing about. And that devalues Galladay. That devalues Marvin Jones. The Lions don't have any running game to speak of anyway. Thankfully, no one has emailed me in a month and a half about TJ Hockenson with my stand on meaningless tight ends. For those of you still playing mandatory tight end leagues, I can't give you a reason to play any of the Lions right now. It'd be different if Driskel was healthy. He doesn't appear to be. And the Lions may need to go with a totally untested third-team quarterback that they had absolutely no plans to play at all this year. That's bad. So yes, even if you've been relying on Galladay and Marvin Jones in recent weeks to get you something, I'd start thinking big picture here. Because the guy who would be in charge of getting them the ball and against the Bear defense is not someone you can trust. It's a bad situation for anything involving the Lions, and it could even trickle down to Matt Prater, who's sort of in, no one ever says this, a PK2, place kicker 2, because, you know, PK1s would be Will Lutz and Butker, Justin Tucker, Greg Zuerlein. But there might not be points out there for the Lions to score or even to get in scoring position in this game. From the Bears standpoint, yes, Allen Robinson is the play. Hard to make a case due to some injuries, even if Trubisky has an okay game, for where other targets might go and who might be productive. I guess Tariq Cohen, but to me, that's more of a DFS Thursday only play. Someone emailed me today that he had a vibe about David Montgomery. Look, I still have him on one of my teams too. but in recent weeks, he's been a non-factor, and we might have reached the point of his first pro season where Montgomery just doesn't have it. Miles Sanders might have hit that also. We'll talk about Devin Singletary in a moment, but perhaps Montgomery has hit the rookie wall. So I won't be playing Montgomery in this game. Like I said, I can only really make a case for Allen Robinson. It's more of a wide receiver three or flex play just because Mitchell Trubisky is his quarterback. And the Lions, until you know, if we find out Driscoll is going to play, yeah, you play Galladay and you can probably get away with Marvin Jones. But you have to temper expectations because Driscoll clearly won't be 100%. It's the Bear defense, and Driscoll's coming off a loss to the Washington Redskins. And not many people can say that this year. All right, so the early game doesn't have much. Let's get to the Thanksgiving dinner game at Jerry World between the Bills and the Cowboys. I have a bad feeling about this game for Dallas. And I actually even said yesterday, and I'm doing this podcast on Tuesday night, that despite what, and I worked with Ed Werder at ESPN, and some things that Jerry Jones said earlier in the week, if Dallas loses this game to the Bills, I do think Jerry Jones could fire Jason Garrett. The reason why is because there's no downside to doing it. Jerry wants to compete for a Super Bowl, not just win the division title. The argument would be made, well, Dallas can still win the NFC East. They've got one win in hand against the Eagles. The Eagles don't look any better than they do. It's not enough anymore. So I am of that feeling and was of that feeling even before Mike Florio posted something on ProFootballTalk.com. My scenario was exactly what Florio's scenario is, that Chris Richard would be elevated to interim head coach, a very valuable guy on the defensive side of the ball. The Cowboys brought in from Seattle a couple of years ago. He's basically the passing game defensive coordinator working with Rod Marinelli. It would just remove Jason Garrett completely from the equation, perhaps give the Cowboys a spark for whatever is potentially there to try to compete against these great teams in the NFC that Jerry thinks they are. And they've had a great offense. Defensively, they're limited without Van Der Esch. We're going to talk about what that means in fantasy, but that's just my vibe. I think the Bills are a better team than the Cowboys. I do. Vegas may not agree, but I think the power rankings on NFL.com have the Bills ranked ahead of Dallas, and I agree. So this to me is a bad spot. I'm considering not playing Prescott and not playing Cooper again. I will play Ezekiel Elliott as I did against the Patriots. I think Elliott has gotten a bad rap all year. Maybe it's just because he airlifted in for the first game and hit the ground running and didn't pay his dues in training camp and he got paid all this money. He looks like a much better investment than Todd Gurley to me. He did move the ball against the New England Patriots. He didn't get in the end zone, but nobody for Dallas did. In the end, I think he was responsible for over 120 yards of tandem offense. Randall Cobb has had the best stretch of games for what? And Packers fans can fill in the blanks here. Probably in about 4 or 5 years. It appears as though as Amari Cooper has finally suffered the effects of playing on one leg, and some really good coverage, namely from Stephon Gilmore, Prescott has had to look elsewhere rather than forcing balls, at least most balls. He did try to force one, and it was picked to Gilmore early in the game. Cobb has played well. Cobb does not draw primary coverage of the opposing defense. Michael Gallup continues to put up yardage. That's a guy who has been worth rostering throughout much of the fantasy season, but not someone. And then he got hurt. He had a procedure, I believe, on his knee after the first few weeks. But recently, Cobb has been productive. He might be sitting out there on waivers in your league, or he was just a week ago. And he's not going to draw Tre'Davious White in this matchup. So I can make a case for Emmett. I'm Emmett. What year is this? I can make a case for Ezekiel Elliott. Can make a case for Randall Cobb if you're looking for desperate for a wide receiver or a flex play. And yeah, I can make a case for Gallup. I kind of like Cobb more right now than I do Gallup. Gallup to me is at his best when Cooper is at his best. Perhaps Cobb is more the play when Cooper cannot be productive. From a Bills standpoint, while other rookies like Montgomery and Sanders seem to be fading, Montgomery seems to be ramping up. Another productive game for Montgomery despite the ageless Frank Gore, and it took Gore 15 seasons to get all these yards to move past Barry Sanders, who did it in 10 seasons. Still, you know, I watched Frank Gore play live in the Orange Bowl stadium down in Miami a number of times and come back from some pretty significant injuries. And he's special. But from a fantasy standpoint, he's not anything special. Singletary may be someone, you know, Dallas gives up a lot of catch and run to running backs. That's part of Singletary's game. Maybe the fact that at no point this year did the Bills really use Singletary in a 20 to 25 touch role in any game. Maybe he's just fresher than Montgomery or even a Miles Sanders, who never had that role either. But the minute Jordan Howard comes back, it looks like he'll play more than Sanders in Philly, and Jay Ajayi got work last week. So I do like Singletary a little bit more in daily than in season long, maybe as a flex play or a desperate RB2 in season long. John Brown's targets have been consistent. He had his blow-up game a couple of weeks ago. He got in the end zone last week. If you've been playing John Brown, I don't see why you don't play him in this game, in a game where I can make a case Buffalo is going to win. And if Buffalo is going to win, Brown is likely to score. And Josh Allen, we talked about just a week ago, some of the top quarterbacks in fantasy. Josh Allen is one of them. Some of it is the rushing yards that he gets. I mean, he's as much of a threat to run for touchdowns as Gore or Singletary, but he's been efficient in the passing game. And whether it's Brown or Beasley or Knox, the yardage has been okay. So you can make a case if you've been using Josh Allen in recent weeks. I don't think there's anything about the Cowboy defense without Van Der Esch that should scare you. Cowboy defense played well enough to win against New England, but New England's offense has been pretty brutal the last month and a half. So those are my fantasy thoughts from the Buffalo-Dallas game. The late game has plenty more in it from a fantasy standpoint, with New Orleans coming off a fortunate win for them after the Joey Sly shank at the end of the game, and New Orleans gets a chance, and Will Lutz converts for the win. New Orleans, I just saw this within the last 24 hours. I think lowest amount of passing plays of 20 yards or more in the NFL. So Michael Thomas is getting it done. Really, no other pass catcher is. I think that's one of the problems for the Saints. And why they're using Cook more. He's a usable tight end in recent weeks. They need someone else to do something. Latavius Murray, I've talked about him having maintaining his roster value even when Kamara came back. Kamara still isn't getting rushing touchdowns. Latavius Murray did in the Carolina game. You know, it's just tough to predict, but Murray at least... It's kind of like a Jamal Williams situation with Green Bay, even though Aaron Jones is among the league leaders in rushing touchdowns. Williams is still going to get chances to get rushing touchdowns or play. But yeah, Kamara's in your lineup. He still accounted for over 100 yards, despite not getting in the end zone against the Carolina Panthers. Murray, yeah, you can get away with it. It's a better daily fantasy play because of the salary cap than it is a season-long play, but you can get away with Murray if you have to. Definitely playing Drew Brees, much like you're playing Matt Ryan. Ryan, significant targets going to Ridley, partly because Hooper's been hurt, check status on him. Julio Jones banged up his shoulder, no touchdown since week three for Julio Jones, check status on Julio Jones. Finley had a career high in targets last week, and also check status on Devontae Freeman. For those of you that have had him and been frustrated by him again this year, he might play in this game. And if he plays, he might be worth putting in your lineup, especially if you are in need of a running back that's going to get, I don't know, 15 touches. He should, if he is healthy enough to go. So there's really, you can combine, I think, there's so many cases to be made for not playing Bears, Lions, and Cowboys, and much more can be played from Saints and Falcons, and the two kickers in Saints-Falcons as well, Lutz and Koo, probably more so than, I think Brett Maher is fine as a play. I don't think Garrett will back off putting Maher out there just because Jerry was upset that they kicked the field goal to make it 13-9 instead of going for it late in the game. Maher is still going to kick, and he's kicking at home, and he has, you know, a big-time leg like Zuerlein does. But again, I think the Saints-Falcons game has much more in it, although you got to, you know, watch the injury status of a few Falcons, Hooper, Jones, and Freeman. The biggest potential injury status is Driscoll, albeit just a backup quarterback, because how that affects Galladay and Marvin Jones Jr. Again, you can email me, and you can email me throughout Thanksgiving Day. I don't mind. I'm going to be hanging out. I think most of you know my family's all dead. Yes, I can say that very matter-of-factly because it's just the truth. I was raised by grandparents, and that's the way things are, and it's okay. A very nice family takes me in on Thanksgiving Day. They even adjust their dinner time a little bit so I can watch the Cowboys, which they didn't have to do, especially this year when I have a suspicion that the Cowboys are going to lose this game, much like they lose to every quality team they play this year. But you can email me at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And remember, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you are welcome to join us for our fantasy football regular season finale watch event, even if you're not in one of my leagues, Monday, December 2nd, for the first half of Vikings and Seahawks. We are wrapping up the regular season in fantasy football this week. I know it's a critical week for many of you trying to earn a first-round bye, just get in the playoffs overall, maybe avoid the last place game, what have you. You can email me through Saturday at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks to Hooters for not only hosting our watch party on Monday night. It'll be the one on Hillsborough Avenue, just west of Northdale Mabry and north of Steinbrenner Field and Raymond James Stadium. But I thank Hooters and all 11 locations in the Tampa Bay area for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. Good luck with getting a jump on your opponents with your players on Thanksgiving Day. You'd feel a lot better about Black Friday and Saturday and going into the last Sunday of the regular season if you got a double-digit lead on your opponent, even if your opponent has no one. If you have a player that goes off or a couple of players that give you double digits, it'll make you feel a lot better about going into Sunday or even Monday night with many players from the Vikings and Seahawks potentially in play about your chances of winning your last regular season game. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We will talk to you later this week with a preview of Sunday and Monday action.